So we're on our way to California Curb Ride, which is one of the most vacant and blighted communities in the city. Make the left.
Rennell Guy, executive director of the Northside Coalition for Fair Housing and interim board member for Pittsburgh's Land Bank, is showing me around a blighted neighborhood. Councilwoman Deborah Gross, who introduced the city's land banking legislation, is also in the car.
Those weeds are already 10 feet tall.
Right.
And it's only June.
We pass overgrown properties and some well-kept ones, stop at a construction site.
Y'all rebuilding the city?
We're trying.
And roll by a postal sorting facility that opened in 1983.
They just decided, okay, these are poor people. They ain't going to complain about this huge postal facility coming to our neighborhood, which was not part of any plan.
Vacant lots pockmark the neighborhood. The city owns most of them, but the coalition started maintaining them when the city failed to. Technically, they're trespassers. Guy hopes the land bank will help reduce her workload. Right now, getting property out of the limbo of abandonment and into people's hands is a years-long, complicated process. Gross says the only properties that make it to treasurer sales are those being requested through that long process. In a nutshell, fixing that is the land bank's goal. Developing an inventory of properties is the first order of business. The land bank can do that through donation or purchase. Pittsburgh has nearly 20,000 tax-delinquent properties, and in many cases, owners don't want them and don't take care of them. Frank Alexander helped draft the Pennsylvania land bank legislation, which passed in 2012.
When you have an individual who owns a piece of property who hasn't paid the taxes for years, and the taxes are approaching fair market value, we contact those owners and say, let's do it the easy way. Just give up your property and give it to the land bank. The land bank can then extinguish the taxes and convey it to a new owner for productive uses.
The ability to dissolve tax liens and to do it in bulk is the core power of the land bank. That way, people purchasing blighted property are actually getting a deal. The land bank's other big power, says Liz Hirsch, executive director of the Housing Alliance of Pennsylvania, is to control somewhat for who exactly gets those deals.
It mandates a disposition policy, so that there's a public process for saying, you know, we want community plans to be recognized, or we prioritize stormwater runoffs or affordable housing or whatever it is.
Remember that postal facility? When it was built, it effectively cut off California Kirkbride from what are now more vibrant neighborhoods, and it did so without the residents' input. The land bank will be able to protect available land from both speculators and projects the community doesn't want.
And so there's a process in place to honor the local plan and to set policies about how we use our land.
The mayor signed Pittsburgh's land bank legislation in April, but so far the organization does not have a permanent board and no policies on the books. That means no plan for how exactly it will be funded either. The legislation gives the land bank a five-year period in which it can collect half of the taxes from properties it returns to productive use, so that's one option. Grants, donations, and government funds are other possibilities. Guy says once the permanent board is seated, they'll figure out all that. For now, she points the car up a steep hill and we drive past a boarded-up house onto a grassy knoll.
Look at the views.
Look at this view.
People think Mount Washington only has views like this.
Guy hopes the land bank will help new homeowners take over blighted property in the neighborhood so they can take advantage of such views. I'm Irina Zhorov, Keystone Crossroads.